Welcome back into the Godly Young Men podcast. This is episode 148. If you missed the announcement over the last couple episodes, episode 150 is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a big episode for us. We are doing an episode solely based on questions that our listeners have submitted, kind of an ask me anything type of episode. Yep. Doesn't have to be spiritually related. It can be. It can be literally anything. But to submit questions, you do have to be a member of our Discord, the Godly Young Men podcast Discord, which to join that, the link is in the description of both the podcast, Apple Podcast, as well as our YouTube show. It'll be in the description. So if you're not a Discord listener, that is Discord member, I should say, no problem. You just won't be able to submit any questions. So if you have some questions for us that you want to submit, we are recording that episode in about 2 weeks. Actually, when this comes out, it'll be in a week or so. So just be mindful of that. Have your questions to get those submitted for episode 150. Joe? Episode 148. What we're talking about is types of girls to avoid. It's interesting. I'll let you kick it off because you went back and looked to see when is the, we've done some marriage episodes and things to help your marriage and stuff. We always try to keep that very front of mind since that is very front of mind for Godly Young Men. We haven't done a non-marriage girls episode in a while.
So yeah, episode, I was looking back through episode 137. We covered marriage. We had episode 130 with Josh, of course, getting married young, Joshua Carroll. We've had various ones, and so I'm like, surely we had one about picking girls or whatever it may be. Back to episode 25 with Luke Harib, Will's younger brother.
My brother.
Episode 25. I mean, we're, again, about
which
almost
was midway through 2023, so that's been a while.
So it's been a minute, and so we thought, you know what? Will actually said, I think we need to do one on types of girls to avoid. That sounds great. And yeah, that's very much what we want to get into because we can take the, it sounds bad to take the negative side, like we could take the positive side and say, okay, here's the type of girls you're
looking
for.
Which is kind of what we did in episode 25.
And exactly what we did, but in my opinion, this is kind of a Proverbs-esque episode of, you know, avoid these types of girls, because Proverbs is half of it seems to be about like, hey, don't go to that side of town, avoid these girls.
A couple things that I want to say to start. The first thing is like, if anybody's listening, man, this misogynistic saying which types of girls, listen, there are just types of girls you should probably avoid, just like there's types of guys.
I was
going to
say,
we've done episodes on that, like the types of guys to kind of stay away from. So this is not gender related at all. It's just when it comes to marriage, and I would even say friends, like stay away from these types of people. And that's just kind of evidence to the idea that like, if you're a bad person, then you're, you know, if you're kind of exhibit bad traits, I'm going to encourage my kids and other people to stay away from you. So don't have bad traits. The other thing I wanted to say is Joe and I are really going to try to walk carefully here, or tread carefully, I should say, because what we don't want to do is create for Godly Young Men this picture-perfect image of a girl that, like, man, she's got to check all these boxes, and if she exhibits any of these traits, man, she is out.
Right.
That's unhealthy. Right. And we want to say that up front. Like, each of these things we're going to talk about as far as types of girls to avoid, we believe that if they exhibit these traits, you should probably try to stay away. But, people can change. People grow. That's a great way to put it. And so I would just caution each of you listening and watching, don't take this and just, you know, start to keep a clipboard and carry that with you of like, exhibits that trait, check it off. All we're saying is, man, these are things that maybe she needs to work on before she's a capable marriage.
Because this goes to both sides. And we see this with females who feel like they're the princess, they're the absolute catch.
Yeah.
And for a godly young man, it can be the same of like, well, she's, you know, basically I'm up here and I got to make sure she meets my standards. Yes, have standards. We're very okay with standards, obviously. On the other hand, you're going to grow, she's going to grow. Like, people change, as you talked about. And so this idea of being ultra dogmatic on any one of those, no. What we will say, though, is, with each one of these, there are going to be underlying issues.
Yeah.
Underlying problems as to why this is, and that's what I want
that
to discuss
will show up
on
later
these,
in your marriage and stuff
correct.
Like that.
Correct. Yeah. And if she doesn't have a heart to change, which is why we've talked about that before, of the importance of having a changeable, moldable heart. If she doesn't have a heart to change and she's showing these pretty consistently and like this is her identity, that's what we're speaking about.
Yes.
Girls who have a strong identity in this, that they're not coming off of that and they're not showing any sensitivity or any willingness to change, then I'd say run from these things.
The heart to change is key because as I'm looking at this list, full disclosure, my wife watches and she's amazing. She exhibited two of these, I would say, before we got married. And so, yeah, that goes to show, again, like, I would encourage everybody not to just have this image in their head of the perfect girl. Parents can do this as well with, like, the perfect person for their child to marry. I would say, again, like, my wife, there were a couple of these that it's like, maybe she struggled with this. And that's not to say that guys, again, that we have all the answers. So, we're beating it to death trying to give qualifiers. Joe, anything to add before we get into
it? Usually you don't give qualifiers. It's only because, we know we're going to hear it from somebody of, like, then who can we marry type thing. Like, That's why we give the qualifier. But yet, we still would stand behind every single one of these as we get into it. And so, number one is going to be an obvious one. We'll start with the most obvious, which is, you know, choosing that Instagram influencer, the Instagram model who's posting the bikini pics and everything else online all the time, who's always trying to get the attention of somebody else.
Like, basically, the reason she's on social media is to show off her body.
Correct. Yeah. And the other thing is, even if she's not showing off her body, I don't know how you feel about this, but like those that are chronically online, always pushing to be the influencer, there's some great girls out there that, you know, do the social media thing well. I'm not against people that are influencers all the time, but those that are chronically online, always trying to like push a brand or whatever it may be.
Yeah,
man, I don't know how I feel about that. I obviously the immodesty one and sure. those that post some pictures like saying. Yes, goes without saying. Avoid that. That's very Proverbs-esque of like avoid the harlot. On the other hand, how do you feel about the just influencer in general?
Yeah, maybe I took it wrong because we didn't discuss these super in depth before we went on. We always try not to just because we think it's better content. But obvious. So the first thing I'll say is like. The odds are you're not going to end up with like a really high level Instagram influencer because those people are usually really famous. But I think what you're getting at is the type of girl that maybe wants to be an Instagram influencer.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so I think your question about like just the person who's maybe chronically online is interesting. I would say one of my personal rules, and it does not always apply, but I think it does apply most of the time, is the more active you are on social media, generally the less well I get along with you, if that makes sense. There's a direct correlation.
That's why you and I get along
sometimes.
Very well.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You know, and like it doesn't always apply. It's painting with a broad brush. But yes, you'll see people who they only think in terms of getting online and yeah. What am I going to show to my followers? And, yep. and I hate to be cynical, but the people who post their selfie about how they're spending time with God and they loved getting up this morning with their coffee. It's like you literally got up that morning and the first thing you thought about was, let me get my selfie so I can show all my Facebook friends.
Right.
Wrong way to go about life. Like, again, maybe snapshots here and there of your life on social media is fine. Of course, I do that. But your life should not be viewed through the lens of putting it on social media.
Do you see that Matthew Stafford one with his wife videoing him? That's what I think about is like, it's just cringy. And if the moment I roll over on the pillow, I have to do like 30 takes of rolling over because she's got some hilarious piece of content and she's right in my face, not happening. I would honestly avoid that. And the reason why is because there's an attention-seeking behavior behind a lot of that. Not all the time. Again, there's some great girls out there. But on the other hand, that is the underlying. If we're talking about principles of underlying this one, is the attention-seeking behavior. Whether that's showing off the body, that's initially why I put it on, is, you know, the influencer from that standpoint. Showing off the body, that's obviously attention-seeking. But even those that are chronically online, that are posting all these things, trying to get followers and likes, it can just be I don't know. I'm not saying it can't be done, but yeah, it's something to consider of how much attention is being drawn to self. You get into 1 Timothy 2 with the women and the braided hair and the gold and all the way throughout the hair, the weave basically. And the whole point of that is like, don't draw attention to yourself. So we want that gentle and quiet spirit. And I think the Instagram influencer goes against it. Get us to number two.
Number two. We'll have to spend less time on each.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
a lot to say there. Number two is the pick me girl. I think most people know because a guy can be this too, but like the pick me girl is the girl that's kind of compliment fishing and like, nobody thinks I'm pretty. You can tell they have major insecurity issues, always trying to insert themselves in to get a compliment or to, you know, have somebody say something nice to them. This one is probably not the end of the world, and you can definitely, somebody can come out of this. This can just be sometimes a high school person thing. Some of these other ones are a lot more problematic, I would say, but this would be for guys or girls. Like, it's not. If you're going to have to spend your whole marriage building your wife up and constantly reaffirming her, like, obviously that's part of your role, is to make sure that your wife feels cherished and special and all those things. But I don't know. The pick me thing just kind of drives me nuts.
Yeah. This goes to the insecurity, right? If you're,
if
the woman that you're with or the girl you're looking at is constantly insecure and constantly needing that, that's a very normal female thing, feminine thing, especially young, because of the beauty standards and everything else. And so you got to realize this is going to be maybe potentially more of an issue. It's certainly something to look at because, once again, it's going to speak to, are the insecurities very deep where she's going to need you to be everything for her? It sounds like the Prince Charming. In reality, that gets really old really fast in marriage. Both sides. We've talked about the pick me boy, you know, like the guy's always fishing for compliments where the woman has to build him up all the time and make him feel like he's a man.
It's a terrible look as a guy.
It's a terrible look as a guy. And I would also say from the female, it's great to build up your wife. She needs to have her own sense of self. I say this to say, once again, I hate when we have to do this, give the caveats and things like that.
This will be the last time we do it.
Yeah, there you go. you are going to be dealing with younger girls. For the godly young men, you're not dealing with a 40-year-old woman who understands herself. You're going to be dealing with girls that are going to be a little insecure. The pick-me girl, though, exactly to your point, fishing for those things and always kind of standing on the outside of a conversation, really waiting for that compliment or to be brought in or whatever. Be very careful on that one, because a lot of times, again, that's going to go to the insecurity, and that's going to mean you may be the one that has to overcome the insecurity. And the moment you don't, she may go back to the insecurity, and then you're constantly on the hook for having to build her self-esteem.
Yeah.
She needs to build it on her own.
Yeah, that's really good.
I'll do number three and let you do number four.
Yeah, number three, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it.
Yeah,
just the flirt. Kind of the perpetual flirt, you know, whether it's you, somebody. I mean, because this is hard, because guys enjoy being flirted with. Like,
sure.
I'm 25. It wasn't that long ago that I was 17. Like, it's nice when a girl flirts with you, right? What you got to watch out for, and I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with flirting and being flirtatious, unless it's with everybody you see, right? And you'll see guys like this, but you also see girls like this. It's like, decent looking guy, you know, they know how to flirt and they know how to do it well. If it's just somebody who's, because what that leads to is somebody who's just kind of always looking for greener grass, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's just who I am. I'm just nice. Like, there's a difference in being nice and turning up the volume on the flirting. And so, yeah, I would just say be careful of the one who, again, this one you can be kind of coached out of, or kind of, you know, you can be molded out of as well. A little bit less problematic, I'd say, than some of these other ones. But it just, yeah, you're kind of looking at every guy as an opportunity to flirt with. Not great.
I was going to say, you see the girls flirting with six different guys in the youth group, like, man, you know, hoping, and then you end up getting with her, and maybe she's still flirting. I had a friend like that whose girlfriend was still flirting with other guys, and I was like, yikes,
yeah,
that's
not
good. Number four is the tough girl, and this is the one. I'm not against those going to the gym, not against those taking care of themselves, but you see this, like, we were talking with Jack ahead of this one, and he was mentioning Brie Larson, you know, somebody like that. Captain Marvel, where every interview she gives, she's got to present as tough. She's got to present as stronger than the men, as the person who's always kind of in this competition of, well, I'm stronger than you. I can do this or I can do that. And there's always a sense of toughness where there's a lack of femininity there. There's a lack of reception there, where she's willing to receive certain things, or kind of gracefulness. Like, everything is a brick wall. And you feel this with certain people where it just feels very jarring in talking to them, right? So everything's a competition, everything's a little bit of a slight, everything's like,
there's an edge,
one up. Yeah, there's an edge there that's
chip,
like,
chip on their shoulder almost, yeah.
Chill, man, chill. Like, we don't need, not everything has to be. And so from a guy's perspective, you and I both like competition, perfectly fine. There's certain things like playing board games with my wife and things like that we've gotten into.
My wife's very competitive as well.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know,
and that's fine. We're not against the competition side of it as much as the girl that's always trying to be just as tough as the guys. It's a distinct lack of femininity, and she's trying to play to your strengths. She's trying to insert herself as a masculine figure in the relationship. She's not masculine. She needs to firmly understand her femininity and understand, like, what her role is in this, and it's not to constantly challenge and push and be the tough one who's, you know, never cries and things like that. And you see this with girls that have been wounded, to kind of have that, I'm not going to cry, I'm going to be tough. Man, it's okay to be a woman, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Not much to add. It's related to the next one. Number five is the girl boss. You know, strong, independent woman, doesn't need a man. Yeah, the feminist. The very, again, I don't need a man thing. Like, biblically, you kind of do need a man. Like, and people would say that's misogynistic. Like, biblically speaking, you know, the man is the stronger vessel. And God designed women to kind of need and desire security and safety that a man can provide. And so, you know, obviously this girl boss feminist woman is probably going to be very career minded, very, you know,
gonna chase that PhD.
Typically they're not as family minded, and so they're not as children minded. And they just kind of view everything through the lens of, I have just as high of a vote as you do as the husband. And again, this is not necessarily a marriage episode, but biblically speaking, the husband is the head of the household and also the one responsible for the spiritual health of the family, not the mother. And so you got to be very careful with somebody with a girl boss mentality, because it's just contrary to a lot of the ways that God designed it. And so anytime you have that, you got to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they are family oriented, but it's like, I'm going to have my full career and this. And one phrase you'll hear, and then we'll move on. One phrase you'll hear is like, I'm not ever going to be at the mercy of a man and his paycheck, or something along those lines. Like, they're very afraid of having to trust a man, and so they want to have the career and they want to have the family.
Which, to defend them for just a second, because I disagree with that, but in their defense, there's a lot of guys out there right now that are just losers. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to depend on him either. So yeah,
no, I agree with that. And a lot of times it's because they've had that in the past.
Sure.
A previous boyfriend, a dad, something like that. And so just something to consider. Number six, we talked about how we wanted to what we want to call this one. The weirdo. just going to call it. Maybe it's mean. I don't care. It's the weirdo. It's the blue-haired kind of freak, you know, the one that has piercings everywhere, or the goth, or the furry gamer who's just doesn't really take care of herself. Not a whole lot of femininity there, but, you know, they very much are into the dark eye makeup surrounding their blue hair. Avoid that one. And, man, again, you may have some guys like, yeah, they're really nice. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. When we're talking wife material.
Why? Well, let's get to that for just a second.
Well, we talk about the underlying issue there of, like, yeah. Okay, what is the underlying issue that caused somebody to want to be goth, caused somebody to want to turn their hair blue? I think it's still going to be to, like, an insecurity internally and a desire to be seen. I remember I was around, this is before Alyssa and I got together, when we were on the mission trip, and there was a girl that had dyed her hair, like, violet, super purple or something. And, you know, we were looking, and my wife's like, it's rude to look. And I'm like, that's the point. She wants people to look. Like, it's a, and not from a lust standpoint, but, like, this whole idea of, oh, you know, we shouldn't really look, like, you're looking for that attention. You're looking to be bombastic, yeah, in a way. And I'd say with the furry gamers, like, you just have a screw loose. You're not in reality. And that to me is, if you're chronically, and I'd say the same, we talk about this for the guys.
Oh,
you're,
yeah,
chronically online, like, and on games and such, you're not firmly in reality. And the idea that you can be a, you know, again, the goth or whatever, like, I just feel like you're not firmly in reality. So it's kind of tough to say when you say, like, why specifically. I just don't think it's great wife material. I think somebody that is open and gentle and great with kids and a good homemaker, the girl that's sitting on there playing video games and her blue hair and you know, like, hasn't showered in 2 days type of thing, and it sounds really mean, but it just is what it is. That's not who I think of when I think of, like, the classic mom,
yeah,
you know, or the you know, classic wife that is a really, that's helping the guy get to heaven. That's the helpmeet. That's not what comes to mind. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah, no, I mean, you covered it well. The why question was tough. That's why I asked Joe. No, your eyes work. I mean, we have eyes for a reason. Like, it's just one of those things. It's just, there's an unappealing nature. There's a repulsive nature to it. And I know some guys might think it's hot or whatever. And it's just like, is this the woman you want helping you lead your family? Is,
right,
this the woman you kids, helping, yeah, raise your kids? And so, yeah, not, I don't want to pile on, not a lot. Again, I would apply this to guys as well. Like,
no, absolutely.
You know, so number seven, again, a Joe edition here. Very interesting one. The mother. In other words, the girl who's always trying to kind of mom you,
yeah,
be,
mother,
you know, kind of mother you, treat you a bit like a child. Yeah, curious your thoughts on this one. Obviously, this is an addition that you had. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, she thinks that she's more mature than you because she's always been told girls are more mature than guys. And so it's always the nitpicking. It's the tuck in your shirt. It's the, you know, trying to teach you how to live type of thing. Girls are great at softening men, softening the rough edges, all of those things. I'm not against that per se. You know the mom when you see it. You know, the girl that is looking to mother, and most of the time, guys that are not confident in themselves and that have some of that insecurity are drawn to somebody like that, because she will easily take on the role of, like, I've got it. I'll handle the finances and I'll handle the, you know, the whatever it may be. I'll handle all the schooling and I'll handle all of the everything. And so guys go, man, that's great. She's going to handle all of it. And it's more of a mom-son dynamic than a husband-wife.
Would you
dynamic.
Say this is more prevalent in homeschool communities, yeah, and homeschool families? Yeah, that's,
yeah,
kind of what I was thinking.
Because think about it. Like, my wife was the oldest of seven, and she helped raise her six younger siblings. So it's easy to come into this,
that's
idea.
That's kind of like default mode almost.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been a mom for the last 3-4 years by the time we're getting married. And so switching back into wife mode can be really difficult because,
yeah,
you're,
yeah,
used,
true,
to being the mom. So that's why, yeah, it's easy to then have her run over the guy, but it's all in the, but I'm not telling them what to do because they're good homeschool girls and they know it's wrong to run over the guy, but most of the time they,
well,
run
this
over
is
the guy.
Where the sayings of, like, you know, people come up to a mom and be like, oh, you got three kids and, you know, you actually got four kids, like, including the husband,
right,
and they're like jokes like that that are just not funny.
Can't say that, yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of the attitude of, like, the mom's the one holding the family together, and moms are absolutely, like, glue to family,
oh,
and,
no,
like,
doubt,
they
no
do
doubt.
So much, but, man, you as a husband, you don't want to be... You don't want to be treated like a child by your wife. And your wife doesn't want to be treated like a child by you either.
I want a wife and I want a mother to my children. I don't want a mother to me.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's what we're talking about, is my wife is a fantastic mom, but my wife is not going to treat me as though I'm a kid. And I'm certainly not going to act as though I'm a kid because I'm a man. I'm the man of the relationship, the man of the house. We have to take that. And so, yeah, we talk a lot. We've done plenty of podcasts on what the guy should do to step up in that role. But if you find a girl that's just always trying to mother you, always,
yep,
trying to turn you into something different, not a great look. You added the next one, the
number eight.
I added,
yep.
And I'm curious to get your thoughts on the social justice warrior.
The social justice warrior. a lot of girls I kind of knew in the youth group of my age have turned into kind of social justice warriors. You know, their Instagram, they'll post like pro-abortion stuff and just, you know, decrying the fact that Snap has been taken away, stuff like that.
Turn their profile to Ukraine flag.
Here's the thing about it. Maybe Joe disagrees with me here. Like, I'm fine, and I think it's actually kind of cool if a girl is interested in politics and pays attention to it and is very well aware of what's going on and has takes and can think intellectually about what's going on politically. Like, I think that's great. But if your identity is wrapped up, first of all, obviously, if you're on the wrong side of all the social justice things, like, again, you know, standing up for the immigrants and standing up for, you know, again, like the mothers who want to abort their children, like wrong side of the issue. But even then, like if your whole identity is wrapped up in that, I just think, again, you don't have the mental capacity to do that and be a great wife and mother. Like there is an extent to which I feel like you need to be a little bit detached. Yes, want to do good. And again, maybe being, you know, very much in the know about what's going on politically. But man, a lot of girls will make it, and guys, but a lot of girls will make it their identity of like, I'm the social justice, stand up for the downtrodden and the LGBTQ person and the immigrant and all those things. Like, stay away from that.
There's an interesting, and I know we got to move on to number 9, but there's an interesting piece to this that people may disagree with. But, you know, I look at it like a woman's domain is the home, and that doesn't mean she can't ever go outside the home or have thoughts outside the home. But like, by and large, she's going to run the home. My wife doesn't have a ton of time to put into all the political problems of the day because she's got 4 kids she's raising. She's homeschooling. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's doing everything that helps make our house what it is. She's a fantastic homemaker. Same with your wife. Like, there's way too much going on. And this is before. This is why you're picking a girl. Like, but it goes to, is she trying to control everything else in the world outside of hers? Mm-hmm. Or is she more focused on how to help her family, how to clean her own room, kind of the Jordan Peterson type thing. Make her own bed with General McRaven, whatever his name is. Like, is she willing to do that and stay on the local end? And I think for guys as well, like, we should build out. And so you start figuring with yourself and with your family and then in relationships and move out from there. But girls that are always thinking about outside the home, there's just something about it that's like, if your thoughts are always outside the home, you're going to have a tough time transitioning to inside the home. And as a wife and mom, that's a big part of your role is thinking inside the home. So I just think there's something more there. Number 9 is the envelope pusher, or the envelope pusher. And what this means is somebody that's always pushing the boundaries a tad bit more. Not full out, we're about to get to number 10, what that is. Not full out to that one, but it's like, you know what, if you can hold hands, she's kind of stroking up the arm type of thing, and just kind of like putting the hand on there and getting a little further than maybe she should, and maybe she's dressing. It's still modest, but man, it's pretty tight. You know, like it's not showing anything terrible, but you know, maybe the language she's using, it's just kind of pushing the envelope, and you start to see underneath this a girl that's like held back by the pressures of her family, by whatever it may be, but she has a spirit underneath her that is always pushing a little bit further than she should. In my opinion, having seen this before, it does not go super well in marriage because that ends up being the envelope pusher in the marriage of pushing the guy, you know, outside to further and further things, and then the guy either takes a harsh stand and she doesn't handle it well, which is probably the best thing to happen. Most of the time, the guy ends up giving in on some of those things, and this is how you have people that end up leaving the church because she's just kind of pushing a little bit more, and is it really that big a deal to worship with instruments or whatever it may be? And so the guy leaves Church Christ, and then he ends up going to community churches, whatever it may be, and it starts with a wife that's kind of pushing the envelope. So what are your thoughts?
I have a take on this one. I'm curious your thoughts. As I look at our list of 10 here, I think this one is the most appealing to Christian guys. That is my take, is that I think most people, not to be, you know, dismissive, the weirdo girl is not all that appealing. Right. The tough girl, the girl boss, I mean, even the social judge, like a lot of these other ones, like not all that appealing. Maybe the flirt is. But the envelope pusher to me, I think, is the most appealing for several reasons. One, because they can, for the most part, still keep kind of their good girl Christian image. They're not doing awful things. They're not going out and getting drunk at parties. That's not that's like you've opened the envelope at that point. They're not going out and getting drunk at parties. They're not sleeping around with everybody. Like you said, they're just a little edgy. They're pushing the envelope just a little bit. And so they can keep their good girl Christian image, which really appealing to guys. But then I also think guys like a little bit of spirit, a little bit of spunk, a little bit of envelope pushing themselves. And if there's a girl that's encouraging that, I think that they very much, and I'm speaking anecdotally in the sense of the guys that I know, and you know what I mean. So
you know, I
take that for what it's worth. I think this is the most appealing, and so therefore you have to be the most careful about this if you're a godly young man, because you, again, some of this other stuff might be repulsive to you. Odds are this one will not be repulsive to you. You will actually be attracted by it, and so you have to be. That's my take.
I think it's a great take. There's a psychological element. Are you familiar with superego, ego, and the id?
Yeah, from Freud, right? Yeah.
So the id is like the uncontrolled, or the basically subconscious. He calls it is it preconscious desires? Like Freud has his own. I don't fully buy into it, but this idea of like the demon, darker part of you that comes out. And I think a girl like this speaks to that part of a guy where the guy already kind of wants to, but he's not necessarily going to. And so you're exactly right from a psychological perspective. The other side of this, and we don't have this on here, but I think it's important to get to this. This is what makes it difficult and why this, putting this outline together, why we had some discussions on like, we want you to get married. Getting married, having kids is great. And so, well, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And it's like, great, then there's no girls. Because there's another side of this on the exact opposite of like the straight line girl that never, ever, ever has fun is like, well, we can't say the word gosh type of thing. And no, I don't say that either. But like who's really down
we'll
the line.
You if you say that, yeah.
Yeah, really down the line on all of these things and like zero personality, zero spunk, zero anything. But boy, she's as godly as it gets because she reads the Bible 8 hours a day. Like, yeah, but she's also not in reality fully. Like, and so I think girls are taught, especially homeschool girls are taught that to be like, you know, down the line.
Prim and proper.
Prim and proper. And that's the difficulty in this is that may not be quite as appealing, but I would say by and large, that's a great thing. I've seen a lot of those go off the deep end because they're prim and proper until they get outside their parents' home and they go off the deep end. You got to be careful of that as well. And so, again, I hate to say that because, like, man, then who do I marry? These are just things to
be aware of.
Be aware of. Yes, to avoid if you're noticing this chronically and they're not willing to change, but something to think on the other side. And that goes to the last one. Which is number 10, the straight up rebel. The girl that is
getting drunk at parties.
Yes, getting drunk at parties. The girl that is, you know, cussing out her dad type of thing or, you know, rolling her eyes every single time she interacts with her parents.
Sneaking out at night,
doing all sorts of stuff. There's the crazy side of the rebel. And then there's also the, yeah, she's just, you know, her parents say something and then she's like, sure, mom and dad, and then goes and does something completely different. Be aware of that. Is she paying attention to what her parents have to say? Like, is she honoring her parents in that way? Because if she doesn't honor her dad, guess who else she's not going to honor?
Yeah.
You. So be aware of how she is with her parents, how she is with, you know, her family in general, with authority structure. That goes to a little bit of the girl boss and things like that. But by and large, like, the rebel is not just a boundary pusher or the envelope pusher. It's somebody who just doesn't care about societal norms, doesn't care about Christian norms, things like that. We started on an obvious one. We end on an obvious one. But what are your thoughts on the rebel?
Nothing too much to add. I think, again, like this one is just kind of the furthest out extension of maybe the envelope pusher. Yeah. Somebody who has the free reign to do a lot of this stuff. And it's just a mentality of, again, I'm just going to rebel against anybody, you know, anybody is in authority, anybody, again, you brought parents or, you know, whatever it is. And so, just by way of review, Instagram influencer, the pick me girl, the flirt, the tough girl, the girl boss, the weirdo, the mother, the social justice warrior, the envelope pusher, and the rebel. Joe, you put on here, which is interesting as we kind of look to wrap up here, just some key takeaways. Again, hopefully you heard us say, like, getting married is great. It's wonderful. You're not going to find a girl that has everything all together. And honestly, correct, you, as a godly man, probably don't have everything together, and you have things you need to work on. And so keep that in mind as you are looking at prospects, people to pursue. Joe, get us into some of your takeaways here that you had that I really like.
Yeah. First, girls, and I spoke to this earlier, girls should be firmly in the feminine. A feminine is one of reception. She's receiving things. She's very open. She's not closed off to people. She doesn't have to be super tough. She understands her role and understands what the feminine is supposed to do, which is a beautifier, if that's a word. Like, you know, she beautifies things. Like, she makes things nicer as they are. And so instead of being the one that, like, she's always got to be pushing for everything, like, she understands her role as the, you know, from the feminine side, which is to help make you better and things like that from a help me perspective. And number two, that goes along with it, you're looking for a lifelong help me, not just the one to fill the emotional need of the moment. So emotionally, maybe you're kind of in your own rebellious phase and you find a girl that's willing to either push the envelope or flat out rebel. And that seems to meet your needs in that moment. Yeah, but that speaks to you, not to her. That speaks to your problems of, like, you're attracted to a specific person because in this moment in life, that's really what you need. Or the flirt who's building that self-esteem and making you feel really good. Well, yeah, the reason you're attracted to her is because you have really low self-esteem. That's a you problem. So you're looking for somebody that is a lifelong helpmeet that understands the vision, that is once again firmly in the feminine, understands what that looks like, understands her role, and, you know, is somebody who takes care of herself in those ways, but she's willing to help along the way. She's not the one that's driving the train. She's not the one that is Yeah, always looking for attention from everybody else, those type of things. You can
just briefly, yeah, the feminine thing is difficult because so much of society is telling girls not to not to embrace that, to be the tough girl, the girl boss, and so it is difficult to find, but man, it's really cool when you do. The next one that we have is that she needs to know who she is. Listen, I think confidence in girls is a good thing. Obviously, all girls and guys too as well have will have some kind of insecurity, but like confidence is a good thing. And so I would say she needs to be confident, not cocky. Same thing with guys. You don't want somebody who, again, that's the Instagram influencer, right? That's the person who just thinks that they're untouchable, that they're just the best thing ever. And so, no, you don't want to be cocky and then also fun but not obnoxious. Like, needs to know, she needs to know what she's about. I think this applies to both genders, but like, there's a difference in just being fun to be around and kind of being charismatic and charming and then being just obnoxious, like just being annoying and goofy. And I think that's generally more of a guy thing than a girl thing. But she needs to know who she is. And the last thing that obviously should go without saying is that she does need to have a solid relationship both with her family and with God. The God thing is very much within her control. How much is she studying her Bible? How much, what's her prayer life like? How involved is she in worship at church, in the sense of like participating in worship? Does she sing out? Does she take notes during the sermon? Does she truly seem to want to go to worship God? Does she serve in the church? Stuff like that. The family one, a little bit more difficult in the sense of like she might just have a terrible family life and that's kind of out of her control. You got to be careful in those instances as well. But like, to the best of her ability, as much as it depends on her, does she have a good relationship with her family? Does she get along with her siblings? Does she respect her parents and have a good relationship with them? Those are all really good signs. If those things are kind of checked off, so to speak, those are really good things to look for, or those are good things to, if when you look for it, you find it, that she has a good relationship with her family, because that and with God, because that just means she is good with relationships, that she knows how to hold down a relationship. Girls can struggle with that sometimes just from a relationship standpoint, and so, yeah, those are things to look for.
If you're marrying young, it's not if she'll change, it's how she'll change. You know, she will change, you'll change as well. So these things can be worked on. Some of these things can be, you know, if you see some rough edges type of thing, like you can help form that, especially if you're marrying young. If you're on the older end and she's pretty, you know, firmly in her, in some of these things, that might be a little bit more difficult. But again, these are some things to be very cognizant of, very mindful of. And so, yes, avoid some of these like the plague. Some of these other ones, if it's just she's kind of in a phase type of thing, you got to be able to understand that a little bit more. But we wanted to throw these out there because, yes, there are absolutely things that we need to be paying attention to as godly young men instead of just getting in these relationships randomly and going, man, she's really not a good influence. Okay, we want to know that on the front end. We want to know what we're looking for on you know, before we ever get into a tough relationship where now there's a breakup and relationship drama and things like that. And so, yeah, we figured we'd throw this out there. If we missed any, let us know. If there's some you disagree with, like, oh, no, I think that's a good thing, let us know. Obviously, on the Discord, on YouTube, you know, wherever you find us, just leave a comment and let us know what you think about it. If there's, again, another one that you're like, man, you guys missed this one, let us know. Add the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, whatever it is. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, this has been episode 148 of the Godly Amen Podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.